UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Something. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Good evening and welcome everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. I hope you all are doing okay as we head into the second part of 2020. And man, it is dragging. We have Giovanni coming on the moment to tell us about his three sightings that he has had in California over the years, all different shapes and sizes, and a sleep paralysis episode he experienced last summer. And as some of you may know, it is never a pleasant experience. But first, a big thank you to this week's 5-star ratings and reviewers on Apple Podcasts, and they are Nico Jan and Nev Paths, both from the US. That's great, guys. Thank you for going out of your way to do that. It really helps the show to become more visible to new listeners and potential guests. And if you get the chance, head on over to our website at www.ufochroniclespodcast.com, where you can check out past episodes, news, merchandise, and you can also contact me about your encounters.
If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Giovanni.
Hi there. Hi there, Nick. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on today, man.
Great to be here. Very excited. Looking forward to this.
Now, you're going to be sharing 3 sightings with us today.
Yes, 3 sightings and also a case of sleep paralysis.
That's great. Now, would you like to start with your first one in 2001, please? Just let the listeners know what you were doing, please, Giovanni.
Definitely. So, thank you, Nick. In 2001, I was 11 years old. I was still in middle school. I was a 6th grader, but we had gone over to one of my aunt's house in Paramount, California, and we were all there for a family gathering, a family party, and we were all just kind of outside. The kids were playing. The adults were having carne asada, and they were just drinking beer and having conversations, and while I was playing with my cousins in the jumper, I started getting thirsty, so I ran inside the my aunt's house. Looking for some water. And as I'm walking back outside, I start to look up at the sky, and I started to notice this this red orb that was off in the distance. But it started coming towards us, and I noticed that as it got closer, it started to intensify in brightness. And it got to the point where it actually stopped a little above the home, the house of my aunt. This is in a heavily populated area. There's a lot of houses, all that type of stuff. So she had a whole bunch of neighbors. So we don't know how many people actually saw this object, but we saw this object just kind of stop glowing in all brightness, and it was almost like it was a rotating light of brightness. And we started, you know, because I was afraid because I didn't know what it was. I sort of ran in the house for a little bit. I ran behind my mother, and we came back outside, and all my families were looking at this object. They couldn't tell what it was, but as we were watching it, it went from standing still to starting to ascend. And as it started to ascend, it was ascending in a spiral type of direction. And we saw it elevate, and it made no sound, very silent. And then we just saw it kind of shoot off into a distance once it reached a certain altitude. And the whole time that this was happening, there was no noise. My family was startled, and they were kind of like just shocked about what they had seen. And there was some discussion about what it was, but none of us ever really found out what it was. So this was in the summer of 2001. And to this day, none of us can explain what we actually saw. Some of my family members were commenting about how it could have possibly been a firework, but you know, we've never seen fireworks do that before. And the reason they said fireworks is because, well, it was closer to the summer of 2001, which over here in the United States, we have 4th of July. With this being said, well, you know, we never saw anything like that again. And we couldn't explain what we had seen that day. But this was a sighting that was seen by multiple people, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, but they were a little more dismissive about it, whereas I was curious and intrigued about what this could be. And that was pretty much the first sighting. So yeah, Nick, to this day, I'm still wondering, well, what was it? Was it a military aircraft? Was it something that was new? Was it otherworldly? In Hispanic culture, I'll just add this on, but a lot of Hispanic cultures, they are very superstitious in certain aspects. To this day, I mean, none of us can really explain what we saw, but that's something that's still in the back of my head as to trying to find out, well, what did we see? What was that red orb? And, you know, it looked menacing. That's what I will say. It looked pretty menacing, but nonetheless, it was silent. There's no way to describe it other than it was just an orb of light.
It's unusual that it was spiraling upwards.
That was very unusual because I had thought, well, what if it was a helicopter, which was a lot of our initial reaction. But you know that with helicopters, well, they have the propellers, and propellers make noise, and this thing is completely silent. It first appeared to be like the spotlight of a helicopter, like it's approaching you in the sky, but it was all red. So that was just unusual for us. And the way it spiraled up and the way it maneuvered was something that an airplane can't do. And some of my family members said OVNI, which OVNI means UFO in Spanish. Others were saying, well, it could be a helicopter, or it could have been like a missile or whatever they thought it was. But, you know, I've never seen anything fly the way this thing did. And it's just not anything that would be in mainstream use or common.
And of course, it just shot off as well. Was it a great speed?
It was a great speed. It actually was just unthinkable. Something that back in 2001, you wouldn't see a plane fly this fast. You wouldn't see a helicopter fly this fast. This is something that just defied physics. It defied just logic, if you will. And, you know, to this day, I know what I saw. You know, we never really spoke about it again in the family, but there was a lot of people that did see it. And whether some of my family members believe that it was otherworldly, or if they believed it was a test craft from the government or whatever it was, it's something that, well, none of us could actually find the answer to. And just something that fascinates us. But, you know, if some of my other family members, if they were fascinated by it, it was quickly dismissed. Pretty much.
Yeah, that's a shame. Okay, do you want to go on to your second sighting in 2014, please, Giovanni?
Yes. So The second sighting in 2014 was very distinct from the first sighting in the sense that there was two crafts. What I describe as crafts, but we were celebrating one of my nephew's birthdays. It was at my parents' home in Bellflower, California. With this being said, you know, and in the house, everybody's kind of rowdy. They're kind of noisy. I get it. It's a birthday party. But I've always been the type of person that doesn't like to be around too many crowds or anything like that. So I kind of just stepped outside for like some fresh air. And I remember walking down the driveway in my parents' home by my father's truck. And as I'm looking up, I don't know what it is, but I've always had the tendency to look up. And I think maybe that's because when I was younger, you know, I would go to my parents' roof with my sister and we would just go up and stargaze. And of course, our parents would come looking for us, but, you know, they wouldn't find us until we came down. But I remember on this particular day, I was looking up and there weren't that many stars in the sky. It was mostly black and no clouds. So it was clear. It was a clear night. You know, I looked up and I saw what looked like two F-bombers. I don't know if you've seen those airplanes before. You know, they obviously don't have the long body on the back. They don't have the tail. They do have the wings. But the wings are built into the plane itself, right? But when I saw these crafts, they were completely dark from the bottom. No lights. They looked like, I as I can describe them, like giant winged craft, but it didn't have a tail or nothing, and it was like a sleek, smooth. In the middle, it was round, and it had like these wings extending out of it, which were also very smooth. Like the design of it was just smooth. That's all I could say. And it wasn't one; there was two of them, and they were flying side by side, which I found it fairly odd because I said. And, you know, I put this in my head. I said to myself, well, if these are two bombers that are flying side by side, one, why are they flying so close? Two, where are the lights? Where are the lights to indicate that they're there? Because if there's other aircrafts coming, isn't it a hazard that they would crash into the other aircrafts? But I think what was kind of different about this sighting was how low they were. They were flying fairly low for aircraft. You know, I just watched them as they kept going towards the mountain range that was there by my father didn't live too close to a mountain range, but nonetheless, where we lived, you could see the mountain range from our home, and we just saw it flying over there and just completely silent. And you know, I couldn't explain it. I'll tell you, I was very puzzled. And I did keep this to myself because I said, well, my family's not going to believe this. They're going to be like, oh, it's probably some bombers or probably just some airplanes that you saw. But from my understanding is when you have commercial aircraft, they have lights. They have lights and they make sounds. You can actually hear, you know, the speed of sound that it follows closely behind it. But nonetheless, you can hear the speed of sound. And with these two, you just couldn't hear anything. You couldn't see any lights at all. You couldn't see a cockpit. You couldn't see nothing. That puzzles me to this day. And in 2014 till now, well, it's kind of hard to forget that. Granted that in 2007, I was 18. 7 years later, you know, I'm looking at myself and I'm like, all right, I'm an adult, fairly fine. No stress really going on at that time. I was still living with my parents, but I was just shocked and puzzled at what I saw. And I'm like, I really cannot explain this. So that's about it.
So do you think it was a Delta wing?
I'm not sure what a Delta wing would be. I can only describe this as like an F bomber, a sort of style, but this F bomber just looked sleek. Like it was just sleek. What I would say is if you looked at it, it was like circular in the middle, like kind of the traditional disc shape. But if you looked at the wings that were extending outward, the wings were kind of facing back. They were facing, towards the rear in a sense.
Yeah, that's what a delta wing is, the wings going back. Because I know the B-2, because it's like a hawk, the B-2 Hawks, the Spirit Hawks they're called, and they were based on the hawk bird because it's kind of like fat in the middle and sleek on the edges. It's not round, it's kind of pointy, best way you can put it.
Yeah, I definitely know which one you're talking about. You're correct when you say that the bomber itself is more pointed like a hawk. And I've seen some of those fly overhead. But these that were flying overhead that particular night, these were not like that. These were not pointed. These were completely disc shaped with, like you said, the delta wing with the wings facing backwards. And well, as far as my understanding of physics goes, and I know this defies physics and logic, but I'm just like, how would that even fly? You know, just how does it fly? And with a lot of these cases, you know, you can't really find an explanation for them. But some things you're just never going to find an explanation to.
I mean, you've actually sent me some sketches of the objects you've seen as well, and I will link to that in the show notes below of this episode.
And the reason that I was, like I said, it's from memory. It's just from remembering seeing them in detail. I'm very focused on it. And I just wrote down brief descriptions of what I remembered. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people, if they have seen something like this, I think they also find it maybe a little difficult to describe it as well. But nonetheless, this one was just different from the last one because the first one I ever had, it was like, here I am, kind of like, look at this bright red light versus these two that were just completely blended in. And I'm not sure if I want to say that this is like, I know you heard of the cloaking technology that just kind of like reflects the sky in a sense. But if that's what this was, well, they did a pretty good job at blending in, but you could still kind of see the outlines of them. So the shape of it. And that was my second experience that I had.
Yeah, certainly an interesting shape for sure. It's very difficult to describe. In one way, it looks a little bit like a wrestling belt, doesn't it?
Yes, it actually does from the bottom.
Very unusual shape.
Yeah, just very, very unusual. And like I said, also silent as well, made no noise. And I would think that if it was a bomber, well, even jet planes, anything like that, you know, they make noise. They make noise when they're flying overhead, but this is just completely silent. And I don't know how to explain it. Even for the altitude that they were flying, they were flying fairly low. And I know that when you see an airplane in the sky, you see them, you know, I'm not sure about the actual altitude of how high they are, the airplanes are flying. But one thing I could say is if these were airplanes, they were flying fairly low to be airplanes. They were probably flying a little... about the same altitude that a helicopter would fly if they were like looking for somebody.
Very low then.
Very low. And you know, you would think that if flying like that close enough, you would feel something like a sonic boom, or you'd hear the speed of sound behind it. But nonetheless, none of that was ever presented. So I did stay outside for a little bit trying to figure what it was, trying to put two and two together. But after a while, I just went back in. And like I said, I joined the party again and didn't really say much. And it's kind of odd because these first two sightings were at actual parties, where the first sighting, I had my family members who saw it. But then the second one, everybody was inside, so they didn't really see it.
And is it the same house? Was it the same area of California?
It was in the same area of California, but this second sighting was actually a city over from the first sighting. The first sighting happened in a city called Paramount, California, where the second sighting happened in Bellflower, California. But these areas are very heavily populated. If you look at the map of them, I mean, you've got house after house and then street after street. And, you know, it's not like long roads that separate the towns. You know, being over here in Texas in Houston, you know, I live in the northern part of Houston, but when I'm traveling to, you know, areas like Tomball in Texas, you still have these long roads where there's a lot of trees, there's a lot of forest. And because I work overnight, there's times that I'm actually driving to work at 11 o'clock at night, or I'm driving to work at 9 and it's dark. and all around you, you just see like trees and forests, right? Where you would think, okay, I would see one of these in places like this, right? Because this is more secluded. But where these sightings happened, they were in places that were a lot more populated, you know, where it was house next to house, yard next to yard. They were all right next to one another, a lot of families. So if I wasn't the only one that saw this, I'm pretty sure there might have been other people that have seen it. But I remember the exact date that I saw these two ships, if you will, or these two crafts. It was on January 14th of 2014. And the reason I remember that date is because that's actually the birthday to my nephew. So that's the day that we saw them. And we saw them the day that I saw them. But it was approximately around, still fairly early in the evening, about 7:30, 8 o'clock, because everybody was still over. And my dad tends to go to sleep pretty early. He'll be in bed by 9 o'clock. But yeah, that sighting was just unexplainable. I can't explain it.
We'll be back after the new single by Chris Norris, Dancing in the Summertime.
Machine.
That was Chris Norris's new single, Dancing in the Summertime. All links to Chris below in the show notes and also on the Chronicles website.
Did you ever report any of your sightings?
I have actually never reported any of these sightings. I've never come forward with them at all. I mean, I've heard of MUFON. I've heard of other organizations you can report this stuff to. But nonetheless, I've never reported them because I said, well, it's not something that's that important per se. That's what I thought at the time. And I thought, well, it's better to just kind of keep it to myself. You know, I don't think that I don't know if it's just me, but I don't think that someone in their 20s is really thinking about reporting this. We just kind of go on with our life and we just live it. But yeah, I mean, as far as these two sightings, they do go back in my head, and I can remember it as if it was yesterday, pretty much.
Well, I mean, when it comes to reporting, I mean, it doesn't really matter how long ago it was. I mean, you can either report to MUFON or the National UFO Reporting Center. And it kind of helps researchers as well, because they can try and then link up other sightings and encounters people have had. There may be a chance that other people have reported the same thing you saw, especially with such a unique shaped craft as well.
I didn't know that. I mean, it's the first time I'm actually hearing it from you. I've heard about MUFON in the past, and I've heard about all these other organizations that you can report it to. I've actually watched a couple shows like UFO Hunters and just a lot of paranormal shows where they tend to investigate certain cases like this. But one thing I will say is, well, I'm kind of the person that was like, I'll just stick to watching it on TV. I don't know why it fascinates me. Maybe it's because I've had a sighting of my own. And you know what? With these two sightings that I had, the first two, they kind of left me a sense of a little bit of fear at first, but then a peace. But the last one's the one that kind of shook me up a little bit. We'll get into that one real soon. But like I said, I've never thought about reporting this to anyone before. But for some reason, I feel comfortable sharing this with you on your podcast, as I know many of your other listeners and guests that have come on have also expressed that to you as well. Because I feel like you're an open person, like you're just that open here, and not really criticized, but you're just open ears.
It's a very open platform, and we are all ears.
Definitely. And that's always good to hear.
Open-minded.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for that. I highly appreciate you.
And I appreciate everyone that comes on, you know, because big step to actually come on the show and share something that's happened to you, which is unusual. It's strange. It's not really run-of-the-mill. Big step when someone shares further than their immediate family.
Yeah, yes. And I know for a lot of the guests that have come on your show in the past, just like it's taken a lot of courage for me to come on the show, I'm pretty sure that a lot of them were a little more willing to, some a little more reluctant. But when they hear the stories of, you know, similar encounters to kind of what they had, I think it's something that really gives us that confidence to want to come and speak. So I know everyone's different when they approach this, but nonetheless, the stories that they share are very fascinating and very impactful.
People we have on the show, they come from all different backgrounds, different religions, different beliefs, all different occupations as well. I mean, the people that tend to be more reluctant to come on, professionals, which if they come out and talk about this kind of stuff, it would affect their jobs, especially around their peers and that. But we go anonymous anyway, so it's names are not important. It's just the story that, you know, people's experiences that are of importance.
And thank you so much for that. That's very comforting to hear. Thank you.
That's great. Okay, do you want to move on to your third sighting, please, Giovanni?
Yes, I will. So this third sighting, definitely different from the other two. This sighting actually happened in 2018. This was the last time that I was, this was the last summer I was in California. And I remember that at this time, I was going through a lot in life. There was a lot of transition. We had been out of my parents' house for about 4 years now. We had moved to this city called Upland in the San Bernardino County. And, you know, we just had our son. We had our son in 2012. My daughter was born in 2015. So they're still fairly young. But I remember that one night, my wife wasn't feeling good. And, you know, she's young. She's in her mid 20s. She just told me that she wanted to lay down. She was tired from the day she had. I was still pretty energetic. I didn't go to work that day because I was working at a pizzeria around that time. And it was just a day off for me. So I decided to go back into the living room while she stayed in the room. She lay down with my kids. And, you know, I was watching a little bit of TV. Decided to go outside and kind of just stand outside and just decided to get some fresh air. And you know, like I said, I'm a person that loves to stargaze. I'm a person that is fascinated by astronomy. I love looking at the celestial bodies, the planets, that type of stuff. And even when I've gone up to retreats in the mountains and as a kid, you know, you could see the stars a lot better up there. So definitely was fascinated by all that stuff. You know, as I'm looking up, I started seeing this object coming from the east. You know, I was kind of shocked by its appearance, and I really couldn't explain it because it looked like it was just changing colors. The best way I can describe this, Nick, was one minute it was all red, and the next minute it was all green, and all red, and then all green. And it kept changing its colors, and it was almost like I'm not sure. It's almost like it had lights on the outside of it where it would just all turn one color. But this thing was flying just, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, it could have been a drone. And even my wife thought it was a drone when I told her this. But I get the chills when I talk about this particular encounter because I saw it moving towards me and it was moving, you know, at an altitude, which I know it's higher than 500 feet because that's actually the limit that a drone can fly. And as I'm looking at this object, it's all just, it's illuminated. It's like I said, all red, all green, a cylinder shape, right? And it looked like it had like two dark points, one at the top, one at the bottom. It looked like a top. I don't know if you've seen those toys that you, like tops that you let them spin. And, like I said, it was in the middle of this object. It was just all cylinder with the lights just constantly changing in that pattern where it was all red, all green. And I saw this object just kind of slow down when it was coming closer to my home. Like I said, this is also a highly populated area. The only difference was that compared to my father's house, we were closer to the mountain range at that point because we had actually moved 45 minutes from where my father lived. And so you could see this thing up in the sky. And I remember I felt very anxious. I felt very, I can say very flustered. And at one point, I was asking myself, my gosh, I don't know if this is in my head. I don't know if this is something I'm actually seeing. But out of fear, I ran back in the house. And I went to tell my wife. I told her, hey, I need you to get up, wake up. She was already asleep, but I was trying to wake her up. I was like, I need you to come outside with me. Babe, you know, I'm seeing something out here that I can't explain. And she told me, it's probably because you're stressed or it's probably because, you know, you're just anxious. That time, I'm not gonna lie, we were having money issues back then compared to where we are now, but nonetheless it was a stressful time. And she did not want to get up. She decided to stay asleep. I went back outside to see if that object was in the same area of the sky, and I thought it, you know, I went outside and I'm like, oh, where'd it go? It just disappeared, you know. But I went back outside. And I don't know why, something told me to look to the left, and I did. And right there behind one of my neighbor's homes, because these were townhomes, so we all lived in townhomes, and it was a community of people living in the townhomes. But behind my neighbor's, you know, roof to the left of where I was at, I could see this object just slowly come into a halt where it was flying really fast before. just kind of creeping there. And almost like, as soon as I went outside, it was almost like it knew I was there, and it's almost like it wanted to come towards me a little bit. And out of this, I started having like great fear come over me, this feeling of uncertainty. I ran back inside the house. I locked doors. I did not want to find out what it was or what its intentions were. But I got so anxious and so stressed to the point that I went in the restroom. I started to vomit. I didn't feel good. I started feeling numb. I told my wife, the next morning I told her, I don't know what I saw last night. I don't know what happened. All I know is that as soon as I finished seeing this object, and after I had my anxious episode and heavy breathing and all this stuff, I decided to just stay in the room, lock the door and knock out, and never found out what it was. This sighting was different from the other sightings because I actually recorded this one. And I know I sent this recording to you. It was a brief 10-second video. And I know it seems like this object was kind of far and distant, but I really did not want to stick around and find out what that was. And I could have recorded a lot longer, maybe. But like I said, I just did not want to find out what it was, because it seemed strange, out of place. It seemed menacing. And like I said, silent. It moved with ease. If it was flying, I mean, it could make turns like with ease, without an issue, without having to turn into any direction. And this thing had no wings on it. No wings from what I could see. It just looked like a spinning top with lights all over it, red and green. That's the best way I can describe this. And flying at a low proximity, yes, definitely flying lower than the airplanes.
And this one particular sighting affected you more than the others?
This one did. It's more because, I'm 30 right now. I'm 30 years old, still fairly young. But nonetheless, this was when I was 28. This is when I already had a family. I was more afraid for my family's life, because I said to myself, what if this thing does come down? You know, I don't know if, you know, I've heard a lot of podcasts and stories of how when people start to see these objects, right, they start to come close. The next phase of what you would encounter is actual contact with these beings. And from what my understanding is, that if they really wanted to come into my home that day and show themselves, they probably would have. And I was more afraid for my family's life, because I had two kids and, you know, I had my wife. And when you see something like that kind of descending, moving as slow as it did, that's enough to leave anyone flustered. It certainly left me flustered. And to this day, I really cannot explain that one. I have no conclusion to what this could be, or even remotely what it's close to. But like I said, silent definitely left me puzzled and baffled. And to this day, I can't explain it. All I have is the sketches. Apart from these three major sightings, I've had other sightings where I've seen like balls of light while I'm driving on the freeway. There was this one time in Los Angeles, kind of tying into this, but there was this one time where I was driving towards Los Angeles with my kids in the car, and we see this this fast moving orb just up in the sky, and it just starts to take off, But we've seen anything from that to, you know, just what's it called? My kids saw that UFO, the one in heading towards Los Angeles. My daughter even pointed it out. She's like, "Look, Dad, looks like a UFO." You know, my daughter, she's 5 now. My son is 7, but they're brilliant kids. And, you know, for some reason, they have the tendency to also want to look up at the stars and stuff. But like I said, this last sighting, it's I just can't explain it compared to all the other little sightings I've had, like little minor ones. These are the three that have stood out the most to me. And I'm just like, what are they? Where are they from? Who are they? And what do they want? And why am I the one that's seen them? You know, these are questions that all are in my head, and I try to make sense of them.
you know, your third sighting, the actual video you sent me, I linked to it again in the show notes, with, same as with all the sketches. It's unusual because at first glance, the actual video is quite hard to see distance in that. At first glance, it does look like a Chinese lantern, but then it changes color and it's quite visibly not a Chinese lantern.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like I said, it's like it looked like a Chinese lantern, but I've never seen anything that could change colors like that, all red and then all green. And it's those were the two colors that it just kept repeating. And I'm not sure if that was like a message or a symbol or I don't know what was behind it, but definitely something that has stood out to me through the day. And I can't explain it at all. From what I saw, it was green and then red and then green and red. And it kept repeating the same sequence. But you could literally see it all like just change within an instant or a second. The colors, like if it was kind of going round and round, like that's what it looked like.
Before you had your sightings, what was your beliefs in this subject?
My belief at first was, this is just kind of the belief I had, where it was like, okay, we are, you know, from what I'm learning in school, we are this little planet, you know, amongst this vast galaxy, this vast universe. And, you know, a lot of my peers growing up and family members have said, well, you know, if there is life on other planets, we haven't discovered it. But you know, us being this ball, you know, in this ball of, you know, water and all that good stuff, just in the middle of this galaxy. Right. What's to say that there isn't other planets out there that, that have water, that have other civilizations that are probably more advanced. The idea of there's possibly life out there was kind of an open concept, but it was quickly dismissed. That's what it was. And my personal belief on this matter was, well, you know, we can't really be alone. I mean, it's a vast galaxy, a vast universe. What are the chances that we are alone? They're very slim to none, right? Now, the question is, have they mastered the art of flying to us and visiting us? You know, that's another question that I would ask. Because if these civilizations are more advanced than we are, then they probably have figured out the way to you know, fly through light speed or through wormholes or all these different theories and concepts that people have. But to answer your question simple, yes, I've always believed that there was something more out there. I just wasn't sure what it was. Couldn't explain it. Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, something that my dad used to tell me was, and I know you're saying this jokingly, but he used to say, I think you're not from this planet because you're able to draw the solar system to a T where it's almost like been out there. He used to make this joke that I guess I'm not really their kid. I guess I'm from the planet Mars or something. But that was a joke that he would crack because of my understanding of the solar system and how fascinated I was with space. He just couldn't put that past his understanding. But yeah, I mean, it's just something, like I said, that goes beyond my understanding, my comprehension at times. My dad happened to see a sighting with me and a cousin of mine, but that was a different sighting from these three. You know, we saw this other sighting when we were in his truck. You know, it was around Christmas time, and this was when I was a kid, when I was younger, way before 2001, where we saw these four lights up in the sky towards the mountains as we were driving up towards visiting a family member. But we clearly saw these lights, and my dad joked around that it was Santa Claus and the reindeer in the sleigh. But you know what can light up the way those did, and all four of them being lit flying through the sky? I have no explanation for those either. I've always told myself, well, if we're in this one galaxy and we have millions and billions of stars out in space, well, can't be the only thing out here. You know, there's got to be life somewhere else. And that life probably ponders about us as well. You know, is there anyone else out there? And this is probably a question they have in the back of their head as well.
I think you could be right. I think you could be right about that. I think we're at the stage now where it's not a case of is there life out there? It's a case of, you know, where are they?
Mm-hmm.
They've been visiting this place for a long time.
Definitely. I believe they have. Like I said, I've also, just to kind of add on what we're talking about, even listening to some of the podcasts about, like, I've heard about the Roswell incident. I've heard about other cases, such as this man who has his farm out there in Arizona. It's a ranch, actually. It's called the Stardust Ranch. So I've heard about his encounters with grays and UFOs and that type of stuff, and also about Skinwalker Ranch, some of the stuff that goes on there. So I'm a listener into a lot of these things, and it just fascinates me because all this stuff defies logic, and some people will even call it pseudoscience. But you know, this if all this is going on, right, and if you have all these people who have all these accounts, for me, I really know we're not alone. The sightings go worldwide, and they're vast cultures. So
you're absolutely right. All over the world, all different cultures, religions, and it has been that way for a long, long time. Now, would you like to say about your sleep paralysis episode you had last summer?
Yes. Yeah, so this sleep paralysis that I had, I was living in, this was a time when, this was actually about maybe a year after we had seen the last UFO. And we actually did lose our home. So while my wife and my kids were living somewhere else, you know, I actually went to live in a room. And I was staying at this lady's house, and you know, I was paying her rent. And this was before my wife and I decided to move with our kids out to Texas. This is the reason why we came out here, because you know, we lost our home back in California, and everything was just getting more expensive over there. But I remember that there was this one night that, you know, I was getting ready for bed. I was tired, and, just wanted to go to sleep. I lay down on this mattress I had, right? I had this mattress set up on the floor where I would sleep. You know, my room was locked. I lived in this house where there was a deep hallway, and if I opened up the door to my room, you would see another room over there across where another young man stayed, and she was just renting out the rooms to, you know, people who could pay her rent. And I remember one particular night, I lay down on the bed, close my eyes. I like to sleep a little bit with the window open, right? So the light can come in. And I remember that I rolled over, I felt like I rolled over, and I was on the floor. I remember having this sensation, right, that I was not by myself. And my eyes were closed, but I was on the floor. I could feel, you know, my left side of my face on the floor, and my right side was a little up, so I could kind of see what was around me a little bit. But I remember feeling like I couldn't move. I remember feeling like this heavy, heavy, heavy atmosphere in the room. And I remember looking out of the corner of my eye, out of the peripheral, kind of seeing someone or something standing there. And I felt immediate fear. Frightful. I could not explain what I was seeing. I wasn't even sure if I was awake or not, but it certainly felt like I was awake because I could move my eye. I could see something there, and I wanted to scream so bad, and I wanted to really fight out of this, but I just felt like I couldn't move. I remember just praying in my head, just asking God that he would free me from this clutch, you know, from this clutches of whatever had me, in a sense. I remember that I couldn't move for a couple minutes, and I whatever was in the room, I felt it getting closer. I felt it right next to me, in a sense, like not touching me, but you feel the presence of whatever's there. And I remember closing my eyes and wanting this to be over and desperately praying. And, you know, the next minute I know I'm able to move. I'm able to get up. I quickly go on. I turn on the light to my room, and I'm looking around to see if I see anything. But I remember that at this time, what I was feeling was a very heavy presence, was a presence that I know if it came, it had to have come from either another dimension, or it was in a dimension that was existing above ours, or I wasn't sure how to describe or explain it. But I know that whatever was there disappeared within an instant. And I know that it basically faded away. So with that being said, you know, to this day, I don't know how to really explain that. I have heard some of your other guests that have been on the show that have also had encounters of sleep paralysis. I know you yourself have mentioned that you've also had some instances where you've dealt with sleep paralysis, but you know, this is the first time I've ever experienced anything like that as far as sleep paralysis goes. And I definitely would have to say it's very frightful. It's something that will shake you up.
Yeah, it's very scary. It's very scary for sure.
It is. And like I said, these are my experiences. These are the ones that have impacted me the most. I don't mean to bring up other experiences. I don't want people to think that I'm making any of this up. But I do remember that one time when I was also a kid and I had gone to Mexico, I was having a nightmare. And it just kind of ended with all this, you know. I was visiting a family in Mexico in Tijuana, Mexico, Baja California. Out there, my family, my grandma had a house. I remember that I was probably 14 or 15 years old, and I was sleeping in one of the bedrooms in the house, and I was having this dream of being chased by, like, this shadow, right? Like, this shadow figure or something, right? And I woke up because I was petrified because whatever it was closing in on me. And I remember waking up, and right there in front of me, I saw someone standing there in the dark. I had said, who's there? You know, who are you? And it was my little sister. And she told me, hey, I can't sleep. And I told her, oh, why not? You know, do you have a nightmare or something? She tells me there's somebody awake and they're moving in the house, but there's no lights on. As we both look out into the hallway, we see this tall, shadowy figure walking down the hallway. And it looked like it had a trench coat on and it looked like it had a top hat, right? But these are just some of the experiences that I've had. And this goes beyond anything that I can explain, whether it's, you know, spirits, whether it's demons, whether it's something supernatural, whether these are beings from another planet, whatever it is. I mean, these are just some of the most impactful experiences that we've had. And these are stuff, this is stuff that stays with you for a lifetime. This is not something that, in my personal opinion, I don't think if this really impacted you and it really affected you the way you say it does in any experience you're having, and if it stays with you for a lifetime, I don't think this is something that you could just make up, really. I don't think someone really desires to make something up like this. And so that's why I believe that what a lot of your listeners or guests say when they come on your show, I think that is why they speak with such conviction, because they genuinely had an experience. And even though it sounds far-fetched to some people, these are experiences that live with you for a lifetime. You want answers to, but you're not always going to get answers to them. And so it kind of does leave you in the dark, but nonetheless, you know that was your experience. And it's something that no matter how troubling or maybe frightful it is, it sticks with you for a lifetime. And that's something that, you know, you feel in your heart strongly that you experience. That's the only way I can say it.
That's beautifully said as well, Giovanni.
I feel a lot better. I felt like a lot of what I had bottled up from these experiences, just everything that has happened, I felt good, you know, telling someone else about it. I know what I saw. I know what I felt through all these instances, through all these experiences. And I definitely know that this is something I've lived through and something that will continue to live on in my heart. I would just like to encourage any other listeners out there that, you know, if you've had experiences, if you've had something that you just can't quite explain, if people don't really want to listen to you, you know, there's this podcast right here. Nick is here. Definitely come and just share your experiences, because this is a place where you can be open about it, where you're not going to get judged. And, you know what you felt. And nobody can really take that away. So I encourage you to just come and share on this podcast if you have that opportunity. Highly recommend it. Thank you so much, Nick. Hearing you go on every week and share the stories that you're sharing with people and what you're doing, this is just amazing and greatly appreciated. And I definitely look forward to every episode that you have to bring out, and just looking forward to this week's as well.
I appreciate the kind words, man. It was wonderful talking to you.
Okay, thank you so much, and you have a good evening as well, Nick.
That is all for today. Join me next week when we head down under to the land of Oz to talk to our guests. Thank you to Giovanni for coming on today and Chris Norris for tonight's music.
Till next time, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.